Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4.
What are you laughing at?
I just spent the whole break thinking about you and the chocolate almonds and how much I would pay for the video of your grumpy little hand sneaking over and just how disappointed when you realized there were no almonds left.
Dude,
in that
it was
guy's.
Like a movie. My reaction, I just was like, I grabbed them like I was stealing them from the guy. The container shake to see if there was any in there, and there was none.
Oh, heartbreak.
It's so embarrassing because Mulls gets on the speaker during commercial and he goes, you know, a way out of that would be to say to the guy, oh, you're a chocolate almond lover too, to see if he would warm up to you.
Right.
Or, I love that brand. You love that brand? Like, there was ways out of it.
There has to be an icebreaker to effectively force the other person to offer you their food, right? Like, there's got to be something that you can say. Because
and
it
I
is
think, Hazy,
tough.
It's I bought one of those last week, and I love that brand.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And, yeah, that's probably what you say. Oh, you love those too? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
But then if the guy still puts up the stop sign, you're screwed.
I think that ends the speaking relationship.
Yeah.
See, I think that's a shareable snack. Like, it would be different. Like, hey, O's got some fruit here. You can't ask for some fruit.
No, you can't dig your paws into my little fruit container.
But almonds.
The almonds you can dump out into your hand.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah, he could have done the little put your scoop out and he'll. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think this is something that you got to breach the topic quicker, though. I think the moral of the story is if eventually you're going to build up the courage to dive in, just do it immediately and get it over with. Because now he thinks of you as a guy who's going for the almonds, and he didn't even get the benefit of eating the chocolate almonds.
But let's get off of this. But there's also another option. You just, like, as soon as you make eye contact with the almonds and you want, you just grab them and hand yourself a couple, and then he might think that you're, like, really good buddies, and it just, like, it blossoms
the
relationship.
Yeah, that could be an icebreaker, too. Maybe the other guy's like, hey, look at this. We're sharing chocolate almonds. This is my guy, the old dog. It's all good. The relationship. That's a good point. Confirm and deny in about a half an hour. Mike Johnson will join us here in a few moments. The Leafs are in action again tonight. Columbus in town. They're in home tonight, Thursday against Tampa, and then Saturday against Chicago. Dealing with injuries. Mitch Marner's out upwards of 3 to 4 weeks. Travis Dermott dealing with a shoulder injury. Rasmus Sandin out with the knee or leg lower body injury for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And Jason Spezza, I don't know what the delay is here. Puck drops in 2 hours. What are we waiting for here? What's your prediction on this, Jonas? How many games do you think he's going to get?
I don't know. Like, I think he deserves something. I'm surprised it's this serious. Like, that he needed an in-person hearing, I guess. Aren't you?
Well,
like, he has no history.
Yeah, but I throw that out when it's a pretty cut and dry case of, like,
sure.
Basically, I'm getting vengeance on this guy, and you know, here's the shot of me on the bench freaking, and then I'm on the ice, and his knee gets him right in the head. Yes, he's a gentleman of a player. He's a Lady Bing type of, you know, performer. He's not a guy with a reckless history. He's not a bad dude on the ice, Jason Spezza, at all. But this was in retaliation to Pionk on Sandin. Pionk's in a very vulnerable position, and his knee gets him in the head.
Yeah, it's
dangerous
play, man.
It's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. Dangerous play, and we love Spets, but and no history, but I still wouldn't be shocked if he got 5 games. Wouldn't shock me. 3 games min.
Yeah, I said yesterday I think 3 or 4 would be just, but you never really know. I mean, what has become clear over the course of its history, the Department of Player Safety, trying to get a read on what they're going to do and what they're not going to do is really difficult. Like, he might get 3, he might get 6, might get 7. I don't think he's getting double digits, and I think that would be ridiculous if he did. But anywhere between 3 and 6 wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what kind of argument he would come back with. I mean, I think what he's going to sell is this idea that, again, his history, he's been in the league for a long time. He's not a bad dude on the ice. But in terms of the actual act, I don't think he's got much of a defense. So we'll see when that comes down. Sheldon Keefe was talking about Austin Matthews not drawing any penalties earlier today as well. We have that audio. Why don't we play it before we get to Mike Johnson? because this has been a big topic of discussion, and it's been directed towards McDavid basically throughout his career. But over the last month, Connor McDavid, it's been, why doesn't he draw more penalties? Why aren't the refs looking for it more? He's got the puck all night. He's on the ice all night. He's playing out of pace. And recently, there have been more calls coming from McDavid or courtesy of McDavid. But Austin Matthews, 5-on-5, has not technically drawn a penalty yet this season, and this is what Sheldon Keefe had to say about it earlier today.
If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Austin's drawn a penalty the entire season, which is strange, considering how much he has the puck and how involved he is. So, you know, those kind of things I think that are worth looking at if you're, you know, if you're involved with that.
So, playing coy, but...
He's drawn three overall, to be fair.
Okay.
It's just 0 5-on-5.
It's also a tribute to him. A, he's not a flopper, and B, he's very slippery, and he's evasive, and he eludes guys, and he's great with the puck, and he gets away from people.
He's huge, too.
Yeah, he's a big man, and he's not flopping, and he gets away from people. He has great moves in the corners. He's slippery, gets away from people. But what bugs me is there's so many ticky-tack calls in the league where you're watching. It's like a guy steps on a stick, and it's tripping.
Or, like, taps the hands.
Tap the hand or tap the stick. It's like, give me a break, man. Like, give me a break. And it's like, if a star player, we don't need to go full McDavid torts argument on this, but guy that big, a guy that strong, that good, there's got to be something there sooner or later.
Yeah,
it's a penalty,
it doesn't seem
it.
Possible, right? It was just like McDavid against in the playoffs last year. Like, it doesn't seem possible he didn't draw a penalty. It doesn't seem possible 5-on-5 Matthews has not drawn a penalty, considering he's such a focal point and he's got the puck as much as he does. He's a very different style of player than McDavid. McDavid is way more elusive because of his pace, but I would guess if we went over the tape, you could find a couple of penalties.
And Hazy, before we get to MJ, I'm going to read you a text from our buddy Jeff Doyle. You bring a box of chocolate-covered almonds out of the privacy of your own home, you're expected to share. End of story.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that unwritten rule, but...
I wasn't either.
Doyle would know, man. If anyone knows, it would be our boy Jeff Doyle. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What do you make of Sheldon Keefe campaigning for more calls against Austin Matthews?
I don't know how you can argue with him. I mean, how does a guy who plays as much as he does, as you guys just talked about, with a puck as much as he never draws a hook?
Yeah, but Johnny, how many games have you watched where I'm like, I can't believe he didn't draw a penalty? I'm just trying to think back because we've all watched every single shift.
You could go back to the Dubois.
Well, that's an incident where it's like, how does Dubois not get 4 minutes there? And Austin Matthews, literally zero, because he didn't do anything.
Exactly. And I can imagine, like, how do you think he feels? Like, everyone's like, he should take a swing at someone. He's got to crack someone over the head with a stick, get himself some room. Well, no, that wouldn't work. And no, he should not have to. Like, how about you just call the penalties? Like, just because you don't punch a guy in the face doesn't mean he should maul you, and it should be coincidental minors. I do like how Sheldon went about it, though. A bit of a passive-aggressive, kinder tone. Like, you know, if you're looking at these things, you might want to take a look at it, as opposed to lighting up the officials and just...
Yeah.
He's using his version of politicking, which is a little bit of a softer touch than maybe than just outright complaining about it. But I think this is not just an Austin Matthews problem. This is a star problem and an NHL problem, where the NHL doesn't do a great job of empowering their best to be their best. They do a great job of making it hard as possible and empowering the guys who aren't as good, which is a counterintuitive to just about any other sports league. You think about basketball, what they've done guarding the ball. You think about football, what they do to protect the quarterback and make it hard to cover wide receivers. Like, they even baseball, the mound, the baseball, whatever it is, like, they team their sports curry to the stars, to the goals, and hockey, for whatever reason, doesn't want to embrace that.
Yeah, and they never really have, but I don't think your thing is, you can't put in a rule book that separates superstar from average player. Like, that's where it's different. Like, with quarterback, that's specific to the position, you know, where you can't be like, well, superstar plug, you know. So I don't know how you get around it other than just relaying to your refs and to the union being like, we would prefer that you did this more. Like, what else can you do?
Well, what you can do is say apply the rule book as it is written, and it will help the stars more because the stars are better. They have the puck more. They put defenders in tougher positions. Connor McDavid gets grabbed every time he skates to the neutral zone, every single time. Somebody gives him a hook, grabs his arm, tries to knock him off stride because they know they can't skate with him. You don't have to say do that for the superstars, because a regular player doesn't put the defenders in that spot. Just the best players, the fastest players do. So I don't think they need extra favor. Just call it straight up. Like, don't ignore it. It almost goes the other way in hockey, where the stars, because they have the puck more often, because they are around it more, they get fewer calls because the NHL just doesn't like volume. And I think the NHL likes the idea that they make their best players fight through this stuff. We don't help them. They're so great, we don't help them. We make it harder for them, and they're still good.
Well, and guys, don't you think that, like Mike, you're saying, the stars kind of just, it doesn't matter. Like, you can slash Austin Matthews, and he's just going to keep going. It's like Shaq in the NBA. Like, you could hack and hack and hack, and he'll just dunk in your face so the refs don't call it.
Yeah, but should he have to?
No, I agree. Like, but, like, I'm sure the refs just look at it. He's like, fine.
Well, but he's not, though, right? Because yeah. you see him getting mauled for Quinton Elmire. That's not fine. You see McDavid, you know, kind of lashing out, getting boarding and kicking out of the game because he was getting hooked and held in the neutral zone. That's not fine. You don't want that in your game. So, yeah, they are that great that clearly they're still the best players. They produce the most. But wouldn't they produce more if they could skate freely? Or not freely, but skate within the rules like everybody else? You know, I don't want to complain about this all the time. I've kind of been on my soapbox of just call the rule book. And I don't care if there's a ton of penalties. Figure out how to check without taking penalties. And if you can't, then your team hurts. You get kicked out of the league, and we'll find someone who can. Like, I'm not, it might be short-term pain of a lot of penalties to begin with, but teams will figure it out because they'll have to, or they won't be any good. And that's all the motivation teams need to change their behavior. So, whether it's Austin Matthews, whether it's Sidney Crosby, whether it's Connor McDavid, whether it's Nathan MacKinnon, whoever it is, Steve Stamkos, I'm here in Montreal tonight, whatever. Just call the rulebook as it's applied, and don't let people take liberty with you because you have the puck all the time.
With Mike Johnson, a TSN hockey analyst. So Mitch Marner out upwards of 3 to 4 weeks.
That's a heck of a collision in practice, huh?
It must have been. No kidding. I mean, Muzzin must have buried him.
No wonder he was mad. You know what I mean? Like, when you saw it, Hayes, didn't you think, like, you know what, kind of whiny, whatever, he bumped you in practice. Like, you know, suck it up. Like, I know you're not supposed to hit in practice, but you can't. But he's out for a month because of it, so I kind of do appreciate him being a little pissed off after it happened.
Oh, yeah. They weren't joking either. Like, the team tried to water it down and be like, no, they're just teammates. They were rattled. Like, Marner was rattled, and Muzzin was defending himself, clearly, because you see the viz up on TSN4 right now. But if he's out for upwards of 3 to 4 months or 3 to 4 weeks, how do you think this affects Austin Matthews in terms of line mates, in terms of minutes, and how he might perform over the next month?
It's going to be a challenge for him. I mean, we talk about his need to be great. Michael Bunting is a complimentary piece, but he's not a facilitating piece. And that's where Mitch and Austin have been so perfect together, that they both, their games, the strengths, highlight each other's. And so you can put Simmons up there. He can't play that many minutes, and he's not as good. You can put Spezza up there when he's going to be back in the lineup, when he's done his suspension. He can't play as many minutes, and he's not going to be as good. Like, so you can shift him with a whole bunch of different guys. Willie will get extra minutes. He'll get a bit of everyone, but none of them will be as good as Mitch, and none of them can play as much as Mitch. So it'll be a challenge. He'll have to carry the load on his own even more. And I think one thing, when Austin's at his very best, he does carry the puck more. Now, when he plays with Mitch, oftentimes, you know, the offense might run through Mitch and end up with Austin shooting it, but I think he'll have to slightly adjust. Well, he will be the transporter. He's the guy who gets it up the ice. He's the guy who's going to, you know, handle it and set up his line mates, because they're not going to be capable of setting up him to the same degree. So he'll have to take on more, but good news is he's one of the best players in the world, and he should be capable of it to be good enough at it that it shouldn't be a huge problem.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how he reacts. I mean, every great player is going to be in a position like this. You're not guaranteed to play with Mitch Marner every second of your career.
The King Daddy Topper, Hayes, was Jerome Iginla. Like, he scored a zillion goals.
Mm-hmm.
And he never really had, like, he had Connie with him, and he, as much as he was a great, like, he was a good player, but he never had that elite player, man. And he got it done.
Yeah.
And he played on the wing.
Yes.
Where you don't even, you know, where it's harder to get it, you know, to kind of, to get the service, to get the puck. And, so, you know, that's what made him a Hall of Famer, and that's what will make Austin Matthews a Hall of Famer. You don't always get the benefit of having another all-world player with you every single night. It's nice if he could, but he doesn't. But it should be fine. Like, I think this little stretch where no Sandin, no Dermott, no Spez for a little bit, and no Mitch Marner will test the depth. But I think with the structure, the goaltending, and the way they can kind of mix and match, they should be okay for that 2 or 3 or 4 week period to survive it.
with Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So weird scene in Boston where they needed like an e-bug and Tuukka Rask shows up. And it's like that felt like a precursor to what's going to happen in the future. And that's been out there forever, that he, you know, was semi-retired as opposed to retired and was just going to take half the season off and return.
He's pulling a Teemu Selanne where it's like, I don't want to start right away when I get better. Remember Selanne that one year?
Yeah.
He started in like February. It's like, give me the time and I'll be back.
Our boy Justin Williams did that.
Yeah.
Down in Carolina.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I had my buddy who's a big Bruin fan. He's like, what are you hearing on Tuukka? What are you hearing on Krejci, who's back in the Czech Republic? But my understanding is Krejci could potentially return as well. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if it did, if Tuukka and Krejci became factors for the Bruins, you know, how might that change your view of them and the complexion of the Bruins and maybe get them back into the status that they've been used to over the last 4 or 5 years?
Pretty significant. I mean, I think one of the question marks is their goaltending. I mean, I like that Swayman, but he's not Tuukka Rask. And so going into the playoffs, you feel better with Tuukka in net, and you love Tuukka at a league minimum contract, and he's going to sign there for that. I mean, they're just going to have three goalies for a while. And Linus Allmark's story about your four-year commitment, you're not the starter anymore, and neither is the rookie Swayman. They're going to go to Tuukka Rask and see what they do. And then maybe as important to that is David Krejci. Now, he's playing over in Czech and playing well, so I don't know if he's going to go to the Olympics. He probably will if he's healthy enough. But there are those waiver rules. When he re-signs, he has to do it before a certain date. Otherwise, he's got to go through waivers, and other teams could claim him and to get him on the roster. But assuming that he comes back, Boston has no second-line center in replacement of David Krejci. Like, Charlie Coyle is a nice player, but he's not the guy that can do that all the time. They don't have that kind of guy to play in behind Bergeron. And so they go from a team that I think is quite a bit weaker as they age and lose players than they were years past to a team that all of a sudden, if you get them in the first round, if Toronto wins the division and Boston's fourth, you put Rask and Krejci back into that mix, and it becomes a very different-looking series. So it also reminds me, remember, Didn't Toronto do this a few years ago? Was it Kari Rommel? Like, who was true? It was just like practicing with Toronto.
Yes.
And he was like their third goalie, and he wasn't even on the roster. He was just like training as like, and he was just available to them. So,
it was like a favor, kind of.
Yeah, it was like, we're going to give you shots every day, and we're not going to sign you, but we have you around just to help you and to help us. So it's not completely unprecedented.
Johnny, how do you think the mood is in Philly when you think you're getting some kind of coach bump and some kind of new life? And you just give up seven, and it's like maybe we're just terrible. I don't know. I don't know how to describe what's going on in Philly, but if you're Chuck Fletcher, I know it's only one game after firing the coach, but there's just serious issues.
Yeah, well, you're right. Big time. You see what happened with Vancouver. They go in the opposite way as they chant Bruce Boudreau's name at the end of the game. And you're thinking, okay, well, at least they'll get their attention. They'll snap to it. They'll be on their, you know, it's Colorado. It might be a tough game, but they're going to play hard and play well. They did not. The issue, though, that I could see with that is that Mike Yeo comes in to take over. He's already been on the staff for a couple of years, right? So it's very much the same voice. And from all reports, he was the good cop to Alain Vigneault's bad cop. And the transition at times, and I kind of saw this in Arizona when Rick Bonus took over. He was the good cop assistant. He became the head coach and had to become a bit of the bad cop. And it doesn't always ring true for those first couple of weeks because that's not the guy you've known in the previous months. That's not the relationship you've had with him. And so it's different than a new coach coming from outside the organization, a completely different voice. It's the same voice, probably a lot of the same messages. The players are like, well, whatever we were struggling with before, you're on board with that being part of our program because you were there. And so it's maybe not quite the impact they were hoping for. So we'll see how that one goes, because I would imagine they will be looking at, I don't know, Doc for sure, Tortorella, you know, a guy that veteran guy can come in and crack the whip and maybe get more out of a pretty experienced roster.
Well, so Mike, what is it like for a player when the coach gets fired? Like, what are those first few days, first few weeks? Is it like, are you on eggshells? Are you potentially liking the new situation with the new coach? Like, what's that like in your experience? Did you ever have a coach get fired midseason?
Yeah, I had two of them. We had John Tortorella take over for Steve Ludzik in Tampa, and we had Rick Bonus take over from Bob Francis in Arizona. And it all depends on your relationship with that previous coach. Like, Bob Francis really liked me as a player. So when, even though as much as I like Rick Bonus, I'm like, I got an advocate of mine, personal advocate of mine, who just left. So that's less good for me. You got to reestablish yourself, get in the good books, get that other coach to trust you and what you do and believe in you. So maybe personally, I wasn't delighted by it. a lot of guys who are struggling, which would be the case because that's why you got a new coach, they're like, okay, great, clean slate. I don't have to worry about all the mistakes I made, the bad track record, the no scoring, whatever it is that happened under the previous coach. We're all starting at zero again, and that can feel good. So I think it depends on where you're at personally with that previous coach about how you feel about the new guy.
Well, again, Bruce Boudreau, he found a way to put a quarter in the boys last night. Vancouver's
Bruce,
all in on
there
Bruce.
There it is.
And, yeah.
Are you kidding
Hello.
Me?
Hello.
That was amazing.
So good. So good. And his presser was great. The grunt standing up at the
How
end.
How about him? Okay, honestly, though. Oh, Pat Quinn looked like a better skater than Bruce Boudreau. Did you see the clips of his first couple strides on the ice?
Dude, I loved it. It's like he had Chara stick, too. He had a 7-foot-long stick, and Brucey's like 5'10 max. He's just wheeling
around. I've never
seen
a head coach more awkward in my life. I'm like, what is he? I was worried about him breaking an ankle. Is he like, what is happening? I'm all for dull skates and ones you haven't worn in a while. I got those, too, but that was almost worrying. Like, this guy's going to hurt himself.
Yeah, a huge stick, bad. The suit was too big, like the track suit. It was just, he was out there for a cruise and holding on for dear life.
Mess.
But it worked for him. It worked for Vancouver. He's 1-0 out in Vancouver. So
he said after he hadn't been on his skates in a while, his ankles were killing him.
I love it. I love it. Enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again later in the week.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline to take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Mike is in Montreal. Tampa taking on the Habs tonight. That, I think, is going to get ugly for Montreal. But Tampa's dealing with injuries, too.
Yep.
But Montreal, every time like we get the internal emails, John Liu will send them in. I look at their lineup. I'm like, what is this? And it's such a change. Like, a lot of the guys were there in the cup final 4 or 5 months ago. You're like, oh, that guy's playing well, and this guy's supplying something. And now you look at it, you're like, who's this guy? What is that guy doing?
Well,
what?
Dude, you know, like, the frame of mind when you get into that position and you know it's game over. The Leafs did it a couple years ago when they had injuries. It's like, you're shut down now, bud. Like, don't even worry about getting healthy. It's like, remember, they were just shutting everything. Like, JVR hurt his ankle. He got hit by, you're done for the year. Shut down.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Jeff Gorton does that and activates that line of thinking. Like any,
of course,
any bet
you're
that could
talking
help us
Shane
win,
right now if you're in the dumpster.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, absolutely. You're thinking lottery, and you're probably thinking, the question is, are they thinking lottery next year? Like, that's where you got to debate. What happens here? Like, if Carey Price is back and 100% healthy, do you think you're going to lose enough games to be in on Connor Bedard a year from now? Like, is that your plan to completely bottom out again? I'm not sure it's going to actually jive with what they currently have in terms of the cap system and in terms of what they're going to put on the ice if they're fully healthy. So we'll see. Confirm or deny coming up. Jonah Siegel in here from The Athletic with the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
I can neither confirm or deny that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Confirm or Deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 RX 350 premium package from just $268 biweekly. For 40 months, visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. So this is the way it works. Confirm or deny. A statement is made. We go around the table. We either confirm it or we deny it. Very simple. Okay, it's 5:30 on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, we should point out, the Lou Brown Awards are happening tomorrow at 5:30. Okay? So the second annual Lou Brown Awards are going to be revealed tomorrow at 5:30. Very exciting stuff.
And that is the replacement, of course, of the Lou Marsh, which we don't participate in, so we do the Lou Brown.
Exactly, which I think is much more intriguing, and I think people care more about the Lou Brown Award.
Yeah.
And the category.
How does it work again? There's
a bunch of categories. There's the Roger Dorn category, the Ricky Vaughn, the Jake Taylor, the Harry Doyle category. There's a bunch of them. We'll refresh your memory tomorrow.
All
okay,
right.
So the Lou Brown Awards this time tomorrow. But confirm and deny. Here we go. Let's kickstart the party with this, confirm or deny, you... as I find it on my sheet.
I
stall like scrambling. A professional broadcaster. William Nylander's ice time should go up significantly with Marner injured. Confirm or deny?
Well, it's kind of an in-betweener because he's not playing with Austin Matthews, but I just like, yeah, I'm going to say confirm. You think about four-on-four situations, it's like no Mitch Marner. Like, play the hell out of him, man. Like, just say to him, this is your time right now. Forget about Austin Matthews, John Tavares. Mitch Marner's out. It's your time to be the best player on the team. And he can do it, and he's capable of doing it. And we've seen it this year, so go ahead and do it. Confirm.
You want me to go, Hayes?
Yeah, go ahead.
Deny. I just don't think he's going to play that much more. I mean, you can look at the two games over the weekend. He played 20-37 in Mini and 18-43 in Winnipeg. Like, it might go up a little. Like, maybe instead of playing 19 minutes on average, he's up around 20. Like, maybe he gets a little bit
more
in the
penalty.
That's
a confirm, then.
No, but significantly was the question.
Well, like, also, though, should, not will, should. What do you think of that, Jonas? Should his minutes go up significantly?
It's just a question of where are you going to raise them. So he's on the first power play unit. He's playing top 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. He kills penalties, like not a lot, but he's not going to go into Marner's place in the penalty kill. So, like, I just don't know where the extra minutes are beyond those shifts he gets with Tavares and Matthews together.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be on the first PK. He's not going to fill in for Marner there. He might get a couple of extra minutes on a secondary unit. But I think you can find some extra time for him. I think you can sneak in shifts with Matthews. You know, I think you basically have to try to keep two kings happy here, Matthews and Tavares. You keep Nylander, Tavares, Kerfoot intact, which we all agree is a smart play. But I think you can sneak some shifts in with Matthews. I think his numbers can go up. Significantly might be a bit of a stretch, but I'll confirm it that they should go up. They should go up. William Nylander is, 24 years old, in his prime. He's more than capable of playing 22 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just math, so
where are you going to get those? Like,
That's on the coach to find them, right? Like, let's not forget, it's not only Marner. Spez is going to be out as well. Two guys in the top, on the right side are out. So I don't want Simmons making up an extra 4 or 5 minutes a night.
He won't.
Okay, so who's going to – Alex Steeves? You're going to give him,
13, 14 minutes? Different guys in. Like, maybe you see Kasha with Matthews for a shift. Maybe you see, like, you just see all kinds of different things.
Well, I'm not saying even just with Matthews. I mean, maybe you sneak in a shift on the fourth line where Willie gets out there a little bit. Find some more minutes for him, specifically up the right
guys.
Side.
William Nylander fans. Should
always
I, like,
have
do you want to join the family now officially? Like,
always.
Jeff
don't
Nylander?
Miscast how we feel about William Nylander. Always been fans of William Nylander.
I know. Nylander. I remember the conversation.
Hated the
forget.
Negotiation tactic. Hated that I'm taking my bag and going
Didn't
back to Stockholm.
Didn't think he was worth it.
At the time, compared to David Pastrnak, Johnny Gaudreau, and others.
I told you guys it would
dad.
Be worth it.
This guy's his dad.
Jonas, at the time, 6'9", compared to what Pastrnak signed for, the fact that he sat at home
I
was
said
bogus.
Project, Hayes. Projection.
I understand that. Doesn't change how he was as a player, who he is as a player, what he's become. He's a really good player. Really good player.
Yeah.
And I'm advocating for more minutes for William Nylander. All right, carrying on here. Confirm or deny the Buffalo Bills will miss the playoffs.
I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to confirm it. Their head coach looked like the warden in Shawshank Redemption when they were coming for him. He was just had like this weird look in his eyes. I'm going to confirm it. I got a bad feeling that it's going to be this Greg Norman lying on the green. We got to wear our Greg Norman hoodies if they miss.
Yeah, we should actually pay homage to Greg Norman and the Bills if they end up doing it. Because, yeah, McDermott was giving off a weird vibe. During the game, he was snapping.
Yeah, he looked weird. I'm telling you, he looked like the warden at Shawshank where he was like, oh, no, they're coming for me.
Yeah, and the players afterwards, again, I didn't love the line of question. I didn't love the word embarrassing or embarrassment. But it was the type of reaction you would expect from a team that is shook. And the Bills are shook, right? They lost at Jacksonville. They got smoked by Indy, and the Pats are their daddies at this point.
And Hayes, I think everybody at the beginning of the season, and not just Carlo and Buffalo Bills fan, they thought that this team was like real deal, going to take over. KC might not be an issue anymore, blah, blah, blah. And it's like kind of big picture, like maybe they're not that. Like maybe they're not.
At 7-5, what does Bill Parcells says, man? He said, you are what your record says you are. That said, I'm going to deny it. I think, Jonas, you referenced who they've got. They got Carolina at home, Atlanta at home, the Jets at home. I think they will win all three of those. I think they could get one of the games at Tampa or at New England. I'm not banking on it. They'll be an underdog in both, but they could. And I think if you get to 10 wins, probably good enough for the seventh seed or a wild card spot in the AFC. So I'm going to confirm it. I still believe they have the talent and the makeup of a
No, you're
good
denying.
Team. I'm denying. Sorry, yes. Yeah. I think they will make the playoffs. Yes, you're right.
So I'm also denying. I just look at the AFC. It's like, who's good? Like, who's going to get in ahead of them? So you got the Chargers, the Bengals, the Steelers, the Colts, the Raiders, the Browns. Like, who is so much better than that?
Indianapolis is putting it together a little bit.
I can't trust Carson Wentz over Josh Allen.
With you on that, but like I think they're decent. They might get there, but you also got to look at the teams, just around them in general. Where to your point, the Bengals, the Chargers, I don't trust the Steelers, I don't trust the Raiders, but they put themselves in a bunch in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Bills have put themselves in a bad spot, but I think they'll punch their ticket. Jonas, you believe they will as well. Moving on here, confirm or deny. Bill Belichick will win the Coach of the Year, and Tom Brady will win the MVP.
I'll confirm that.
Both.
So yeah. I think it's pretty clear Belichick is going to win Coach of the Year. Like, I don't even know who would be the next candidate. Is it like Mike Vrabel or something?
Yeah, Vrabel's been getting love. Maybe
Cliffy Kingsbury.
Kingsbury, yeah, possibly.
And then the MVP, it's like, are people going to vote for Aaron Rodgers? Because he probably is the MVP, but like, if you were voting, Jeff, would you vote for Aaron Rodgers after everything? Maybe.
I think it's Brady right now, though. When you look at the stats and the wins and losses, he's leading the league in touchdowns and passing yards.
It shouldn't – COVID thing with Rodgers shouldn't affect anything, but I think people will just say, you were dumb there. I don't want to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got to be a factor. I'll confirm that. Both.
Yeah. I'm going to go around the table and confirm it as well.
Sweep.
I think Belichick, if they win the AFC East, he deserves to win it. He's got a rookie quarterback, considering where they were last year. He absolutely deserves to win it. They might win the top seed in the AFC. And MVP, again, I think if Derrick Henry was healthy, he'd be in the running. Cooper Kupp, but a wide receiver, you got to have, the greatest season of all time to win the MVP. I don't see it. Rodgers is at injuries, the COVID thing, Kyler Murray injuries, Dak has fallen off. Yeah, Josh Allen, that didn't help his case last night. Allen's been in contention. So, but as of now, it's Brady.
Hayes, what about your guy in Green Bay for Coach of the Year? Why doesn't he get any love?
Yeah, Matt LaFleur, I think he deserves to. They've had a lot of injuries, especially to, big, big star players on both sides of the ball. I think he's in the running, for sure. I think he's absolutely in the running. But I got to be honest, I'd give it to Belichick if I had a vote.
Yep.
I'm taking Belichick over LaFleur. Confirm or deny at least one hockey superstar will decline an invitation to play in the Olympics. Excluding Robin Leonard. So Robin Leonard the other day said, I'm not going because mental health and I don't want to be over there. If I test positive, I'm stuck, blah, blah, blah. But a superstar, whatever country, Canada, the States, Russia, Sweden, someone will say, you know what, it's not for me.
I'm going to confirm this. I really do think someone's going to say, the more confusing and the cloudier the picture gets about going over there, and if something happens and you do get it, I don't know. I'm going to confirm that this does happen.
I'm confirming, too. It's like you hear about the conditions that they're going to be facing. Like, they're going to just be stuck in their hotel room the whole time, aside from when they're at the rink.
This is what they signed up for, though. That's the thing. This is such a 50-50 for me because I could actually picture it. I could see it for sure. But I will deny it because of the nature of the sport. It's such a, team guy. Don't sewer you. The patriotism gets dragged into it. Could you imagine if McDavid was like, I'm not going, what the reaction would be like in this country, or Sid or whatever? I don't know if a Canadian would
maybe
be able
we
to
wouldn't
do it.
No, though, unless it was someone like that. Like, maybe a second tier guy just tells them, I'm not coming.
Yeah.
Take me out.
And listen, I could totally reason with it. I wouldn't be the one yelling and screaming, but I think there'd be peer pressure. There would be people that would not turn on them necessarily, because I do think it's understandable considering the world we live in right now and the conditions that you could be dealing with if you're over there as an athlete in Beijing. But it's just there's so much pressure that comes with it being like a superstar in one of these countries. I'll deny it. Confirm or deny, LeBron and the Lakers are no longer the biggest story or draw in the NBA?
Confirm.
Confirm.
It's the Warriors. Like, I don't even think it's an argument. And if it's not the Warriors, it's the Nets. And if it's not the Nets, it's the Suns. It's like, I don't...
Yeah, LeBron's a pretty big fish, man.
He is, but they stink, man.
They're not good.
Stephen A. Smith was all over them today, and I think he went a little bit... I think he was the wordage, like he was saying they're irrelevant or they're... And it's just when you got LeBron and it's the Lakers, they're never going to be that, but they suck, man. Like they're
They're hard to watch. Like, they're not even sucky and fun.
Yeah. They're like that team that went and got all the old guys thinking that they could, like, bring back the past. It's not happening there. Like,
no, they're a 500 club.
Yeah, not happening.
I'll confirm it as well. I mean, I don't disagree with you guys. I thought one of us would be like, wait a minute, LeBron. Because you can make a case that if LeBron is associated with the team, it's the biggest thing going. Like, LeBron is in many ways bigger than the sport. In terms, like, you look at this is very arbitrary in terms of using this as a barrier or using this as some way of actually tabulating this. But he has more Instagram followers than the NBA does. Like, he's bigger than the sport, and yet I agree with you. I think the Warriors are bigger right now, more of a draw. Brooklyn, I think Giannis, Milwaukee.
I don't even know, though, Hayes, like, anymore if he's individually the biggest draw. Like, I think there are other players who, if you're ranking them, like, who would you rather go see? He's not – he might not be top five.
He might not be, and that might just more be because
his
we've
age.
Seen it. Yeah, and we've you know, like, I've been lucky enough to see him live. I've seen him live multiple times at Scotiabank, and it was a joy. It was something I'll never forget, and it was one of the great sporting events. But I'm with you. I mean, there might be other players in the league where I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing this guy play. You know, I've been lucky enough to see Steph Curry play live. I've seen KD play live. You know, there aren't many great players in the league that I haven't seen live, but, yeah, you know. Giannis is a draw right now. Steph Curry, clearly. KD. But these are guys who have been around the league for a while. Like, I don't know if there's, like, a young player that sticks out. Like,
right.
Zion was supposed to be that,
no,
but he's not.
He sticks out now.
What about LaMelo? Let's say you had an opportunity to go see the Hornets, or you could go see the Lakers play the Raptors. Who
Yeah, that might be the guy. Yeah, that might be it, Jonas. I mean, LaMelo Ball is a one-man show at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at the stats and the numbers he's putting up. He's been off the charts. I mean, that's hard to say because it's Charlotte. Like,
okay.
How can I, you know, because
I'll give you
who's
two
the
more.
Anthony Davis, who's the Carmelo, who's the Russ?
What about
there's other players on the Lakers that are still compelling?
Luka Doncic.
Luka might be the guy.
Trae Young.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't again, it's tough to compare, but yeah, Luka's probably that guy. Luka might be that guy as well. It's an interesting thought though and discussion, you know, where LeBron still stands in terms of, you know, ticket sales, and he's still the man though when it comes to TV. Like, generally speaking, the Lakers, that market, LeBron, they're putting that up on ESPN, TNT over pretty much any other product.
I want to see how he deals with this if this continues where they're just no chance and it's
okay. Well, to your guys' point,
in the first round,
the top selling jerseys, this was from last year, number one LeBron, 2 Doncic, 3 Giannis, 4 Curry, 5 Durant. Mm-hmm. So
he's still, like, again, this is Jordan at the end of his career. It was still Michael, you know, like, LeBron is a larger than life figure that it's not even about him playing anymore. It's just the guy sends a tweet out. Guy posts something on Instagram, it's a story. He's a walking, talking content machine. And the team isn't that good right now. Confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease a 2022 RX350 premium package from just $268 biweekly for 40 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. You're doing the panel work tonight? Does that mean you're out of here? I never know what's going on here.
That means I'm out of here, bud.
All right, so tomorrow, bring your A-game. Lou Brown Awards at 5:30 tomorrow.
Do I get to pick guys? Or
yeah,
just,
yeah. So
okay.
we'll send you the categories tonight. We might make some alterations. Last year was that was the inaugural event, but you can expect similar categories: Roger Dorn and Harry Doyle, and you know the whole nine. So we'll make sure to be taking part in that. Noodles will be back tomorrow as well, so he'll be taking part in it, and we look forward to the Lou Brown Awards. Everyone does across the country. Everyone wants to know. So tomorrow at 5:30. All right, buddy. Enjoy yourself tonight. There's the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jonas, you and I will stick around. Our boy Mark Masters from the Rink in the next hour. And we're going to have a top five list of athletes, Canadian athletes, non-hockey playing Canadian athletes, because there's a lot of stories going on around the world and around the country, quite frankly. Bianca, what's going on with Alfonso Davies, etc. So we'll get into that more in the next hour. We'll describe it and we'll break it down. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. It's the easiest way to win Leaf tickets. Follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. Find our latest giveaway post and tag who you'd bring to see the Leafs take on the Penguins. Plus, you'll win a $100 vanilla Visa prepaid card from Circle K. A winner will be announced Friday with Leafs Lunch. So make sure you check that out at TSN 1050 on Instagram. So looking forward to tonight's action with Columbus in town. You got Tampa in town on Thursday, Chicago in town on Saturday. The Leafs dealing with injuries and waiting to see what's going to happen with Jason Spezza. Raptors back in action tomorrow night. Oklahoma City will be in town. Raptors are playing better, playing pretty well. Oklahoma City's not in a very good spot. Needless to say, they've been losing a lot of games. Lost to Memphis by 73. Last week, 73 points. They got crushed. So we'll see. And Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, good Canadian boy, good Canadian athlete, Jonas. We're going to get to our list in about 15 minutes. Non-hockey playing Canadian athletes. Mm-hmm. Who do we find most entertaining, compelling? Who's on our radar moving into 2022? I don't know if you have Shea on your list.
But I'm not going to spoil it, but can I ask you a trivia question?
Yes.
Who do you think leads the NHL in five-on-five penalties drawn?
Who leads the NHL in five-on-five penalties drawn?
There are three people tied for first.
I feel like this is going to be a trick question.
No, sort of, not.
Is Nazem Kadri one of them?
He is not. He is fourth in league scoring, though, by the way.
Yeah, and he's got a history of drawing penalties. Alex Ovechkin?
Nope, he is not in the top ten.
I don't know. Has McDavid's crept into the top three ever since
he
the
has.
Look
he
at
is
that.
Number one tied with a couple other guys.
Okay.
So
who are the others?
Well, what's interesting about this list is they all kind of are similar players. It's all kind of like pests. So Matthew Tkachuk also has 11. Joel Eriksson-Ek, 11. Michael Bunting, our guy here in Toronto, 10.
That's right, yeah.
Connor Garland, Pierre-Luc Dubois, et cetera, et cetera.
Interesting. Well, guys who draw a reaction out of people.
Yes.
Right? And it's basically retaliatory calls that the ref is catching. The old, you know, they're not going to catch the first guy, they'll catch the second guy, and that would be a perfect example of it.
Like, how many times have you seen Bunting, like, just annoying someone so much that, like, they finally take a penalty? It's happened tons of times.
He gets himself involved, right? Like, I don't think he's going to fight a ton. I don't think he has to.
No.
You know, and I had this discussion off the air the other day, and it's the first time I can probably get to this point, or I've been in this position throughout my lifetime following the NHL, where I have no idea who the toughest team in the league is. And I don't think I could name a tough team.
What is tough?
Exactly. What is tough in 2021? Like, if a gong show is being used to define the game in Winnipeg, we don't have gong shows anymore. That wasn't a gong show. There was a little bit of roughing and wrestling with two really good players, Dubois and Matthews, a fight between two big boys in Dylan and Clifford, and Wayne Simmonds was trying to get after a couple of guys. What else was so crazy? Like, I get it, Spezza and Pionk, but those were like plays that could have happened at any point. It wasn't like bench-clearing brawls, you know, five-on-five fights, the puck drops in the first period and there's fights, goalies weren't brawling. It wasn't really that crazy of a game, but in 2021 it is considered that, and I don't know who the toughest team in the league is.
Well, I guess it depends what we define as toughness. Like, is toughness having the puck the most? Is it, what is it?
No, I'm saying conventional, like this team might beat the hell out of you.
Oh.
Like that was...
Do those teams exist anymore?
I don't know. I guess they don't.
And they're not good if they do.
Well, I think the most recent example of a team that was very good that probably held that title would be St. Louis was there. Boston, I'm thinking of. Right, like when Boston had Chara and Lucic and Sean Thornton on the fourth line, like they were tough.
But like they won, that was like 2011. That's 10 years ago.
Right, Cup final in 13. But yeah, I mean, listen, even a couple of years ago when Chara was there, I would still consider them a tough team. Like they had some Brandon Carlo's a tough dude. Marchand is more
Sean Corrali.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. Like, is it Washington because they got big boys and Tom Wilson? Is it, you know, whatever team Ryan Reeves is on? Is that considered the toughest team? I don't know, because the Leafs, I don't look at the Leafs and think, wow, they're a tough team, but I don't think of them as soft.
Well, that was, I don't know, that example the other night was, isn't that toughness?
Yeah, I like the reaction.
I mean, Ray was talking about it on the broadcast. I think he was right. Like, that was kind of what people used to complain about this team for.
Right, because you would think you could push them around and get away with it, or get away without a reaction or some sort of retribution. And, you know, I think they stood up for themselves on Sunday, and I liked that. I appreciated that, and I believe sincerely that that's an important ingredient. And that's all it's got to be. You know, a couple of guys on your team just saying we're not going to put up with it. Nothing crazy. No stick swinging. No hitting from behind. No line brawls or anything like that. But because I don't think you need it, because the opposition is never going to be filled with four or five tough guys. You know, like we're 15, 20 years removed from two or three heavyweights, four or five middleweights that were tough, a couple of pests. That's not the way the league is built anymore. Final hour coming up. Jonas Siegel continues to ride shotgun from The Athletic. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.